everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. Here at Extra Special Rig Rundown, at least for myself, and thanks to my dad. He steeped me in Doobie discography, starting off with Stampede and going back to, obviously, the captain to me, the man behind, partially behind all of it. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us about gear.
Glad to, man.
It's going to be quite the honor to go through your rig, so talk to us about what's on your shoulder here right here. What are we looking at?
This is a Custom 24 2009. It's a 25th anniversary PRS. Everything in here is PRS, unless it's acoustic, that is. So I use this guy and this one here, which is a 2010, I believe it is. No, it's not. It's earlier than that, but I've had this one for longer than I've had this one. This one I use for different kinds of tunings. This one is standard tuning.
Already.
They're essentially the same guitar, except that this one's newer.
And you, I mean, people know, and I know you, you had the Les Paul, you had the 70 Les Paul with the soap bars in it. You had the Strad you've seen using, the SG and the earliest stuff. How did you get to the PRS? I know that you've been there since the 80s, but how did you stumble upon PRS guitars?
I literally did stumble upon them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to a local music shop that's in Santa Fe, California, and they had a 1985, which was the first year he actually sold
them. Yeah.
Hanging there, and I said, "What's that?" And he said, "That's a PRS. You want to try it?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll give it a shot."
Yeah.
Because I was just getting ready to go out on the road for a USO tour, and I said, "Yeah." So I grabbed it and played it, and I said, "Wow, that's kind of nice. I like that, man." And I bought that one, took it on a tour around the world, if you will, doing a USO tour.
Mm-hmm.
Then I bought another one, and I've been playing them ever since.
What do you like about them? I know that you come from the Gibson family, but what do you like about this,
well,
this
essentially,
particular style?
To me, you're still playing a lot like a, you still play a lot like a Gibson. It feels like a cross between a Gibson and a Strat. Body-wise, is mostly that's where you get that combination.
Mm-hmm.
But the neck on these things is phenomenal. The sound is, you know, the pickup sound to me is very much like a Gibson.
Yeah.
Lower
humbucking. Output pickups.
Humbucking. They're just really warm. You can get them to sound really, really nice clean-wise, mm-hmm. or you can get them to just raunch, you know, as far as balls go. They can do it either way you want. And I've been playing them for, what is that, a long time?
Yeah, almost as long as Carlos.
Well, as long as he's been selling them anyway. And the biggest differentiation is this guy here, which is a single cut. It's like his... And tip of the hat to the Les Paul.
And does that get any, is there any specific songs that comes out on, like people might see it?
No, I just brought it out here.
Okay.
Just brought it out here. So,
I haven't
moved it into the set yet, but I'm probably going to use it on the blues tune that we do.
All right.
And right now, various guitars have various songs that they get played on. This guy's a backup, but this guy gets used for the Doctor. This gets used for Long Train, China Grove, and stuff like that. This gets used for the blues at the moment, and... Yeah, a few others, because I'm not looking at the set list, but, you know, quite a few others.
What do you like between these two main ones that you use that guitar for certain songs and this one for other types? Like, what do you hear or feel?
This one has a little bit different neck than this one, because it's a little older.
Okay.
Essentially, I also use it if we, like, knock step down a half step once in a while.
Okay.
That's what this is the one I use for that. This one is always standard tuning, period. Has a little thinner neck. And if you're really going to be playing a lot of solo, I play solos on both of them, so I shouldn't say that. But this one's just a little more solo-oriented, if you will.
All right. And for strings, what kind of guitar strings are you using, like gauge-wise and guitar picks?
I use nines. I've been using nines for as long as I've been doing
really?
This. Yep. Never changed.
Huh.
Yeah. I know that's really?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't play tens?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Right.
Oh, man, that's just what I always played.
If it works, why change it?
It does. It works fine. And as far as brand, I believe we're using GHS. Is that right? That's something you'd have to ask Cootie, because he's the one that's putting them on. I just as long as it's working, they're not breaking.
As long as there's six of them, you're good.
Yeah.
What guitar picks?
Herco.
That's what
since
I thought.
Since 1972.
50s, right? The 50 millimeter.
They're the medium.
The
thing about them is you can grab them and they don't drop. And I don't care if they're sweating like a pig. They're great. And they're also kind of thick. I like that.
Do you ever use the not the serrated, but the stuff with the grip on it as your picking side? Or are you always just using the the smooth side.
It's on both sides.
Yeah, or, like, are you
well,
using
that's
like, the friction?
You're right. I see what you're talking about.
Are you? Do you ever use the friction for more like of a scratchy tone, or is that you're always using the?
No, I use it so I don't drop the damn pick. That's literally the truth. That's why I've been using them so long.
Perfect.
And as far as the amplifier world goes, I'm using Archons now. I was using the 212HD, and now I'm using the Archons. It's 100 watts. Really a great sounding amp. For you know, one has 34s, the other has 606s, and the difference between that and the 212, I mean the two channel HD thing is like this one's a little meatier. It's I mean you don't have to play it on volume 12. You don't have to like have a blasting to where nobody can hear anything on stage but you. You can play this thing at pretty much any volume and it'll sound just like that.
This tone, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly the same, which blows my mind. And if you want really great, clean sounds, then I'm using the 606s. If you want to really go ballsy, then I use the 304s.
Yeah, with the Marshall style, Marshall style, the EL34s.
Yep.
I want to go back to your guitar real quick because you have a really unique picking style and it's real percussive. And I'd love for you to explain how you came up with that, and even on your soloing, you have a great use and application of vibrato that gives it such an expressive sound. So I think it'd be a really good treat if maybe you could just explain how, like China Grove, Listen to the Music has that real, that chicka rhythm style. If
that
you could describe
That was developed essentially on acoustic, playing acoustic a lot for a while. This is back when I was in college.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a drummer around.
And so you did it that
way. So the way I could play drums was to get that kind of thing going on playing rhythm, and then I started applying it to electric and songs like you mentioned, like Long Train Run or something like that. So you've got your drummer built in and you've still got the guitar thing happening. And plus I come from R&B and blues into my background musically.
You had that great cover on Stampede, the Motown classic.
Yeah, Take Me to R&B.
But
that whole thing just kind of developed itself. It's like what I call channeling. I didn't really do it, something else came through and did that. And it's been going ever since. It's just the way I play rhythm.
Well, what about your solo approach, or how do you approach a solo with, like I said, you have such great vibrato and it adds so much expressiveness to the song or the solo.
You know, I didn't consciously develop vibrato the way it is. I think just from listening to other people that I really like, you know, that I really dug the way they played, be it Leslie West or Clapton or Hendrix or all the blues guys that I grew up listening to. But a lot of them didn't use, you know, bending like this kind of thing. They would go like a violin.
Yeah.
The old blues cats would do that. I got into doing the bend, as I call it, and much more expressive. A lot of it has to do with the kind of tone you're running, too. If you're hearing like a creamier tone, you're going to notice more of the vibrato. If it's a brighter, edgy song, you don't really hear it as much.
Mm-hmm.
So depends on the solo tones you're using. But like most of the stuff in this band, it just came self-developed.
Yeah, it's just a testament for what you guys have been doing for 40 plus years. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
And so with the amps, are you always running both of them at the same time?
Yep.
Or is it 10 you're switching between the songs? They're both
well,
on?
Well, they're both on. And yeah, I do switch out there. I have switches that run, you know, one amp is being run by a certain set of switches and the other one's run by the others. And then depending on whatever the song requires, then I go to that switch.
Gotcha.
Utilize that stuff.
Understood.
And Bradshaw as far as all the foot gear goes.
And then you have the reverb pedal on the side here, and then the carbon copy, I imagine, is going through each of the effects loop on each amp.
Yeah, that got added kind of recently, actually, for the blues, believe it or not. That guy did. And there's a compression guy we're using now, too.
Oh, yeah, the GHS. The
and all this stuff's kind of recent. I don't use a lot of stuff.
No,
I use a lot of gear. I mean, as far as pedals and all that.
You have a very old school approach.
I kind of just play straight through the amp. The amp sounds great, you're golden, you know?
Yeah. And I guess let's just pull out this real quick to check out what you do have in here. And you got a DD20, you got a delay, blues driver.
MXR.
Is the blues driver something you'll kick on to for like a solo type boost, or is that
I don't think it's used for any blues tunes. I think it gets used as the sound. And it's specifically, I think, like there's a clean sound and there's a semi-dirty sound, and I think that's where that guy comes in. Then there's what we call double crunch, which is more ballsy, but still considered for rhythm and stuff. And then there's all the way live, and that's when you're just using the amp. And that's how we march it up, 1, 2, 3, 4. So you can have your clean, you can have a little edgy, crunchy, crunchy.
Yeah.
And then.
So you probably, you get a little bit of gain or a little bit of, you know, tube power, and then you're using the pedals to push it further.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And also so you can gauge how much you want, you know, so you don't have too much of it. You don't have too much crunch on a song that doesn't require it.
Yeah.
And it works out really well. I've been doing this for a long, I should say I've had, Hootie's been setting it up this way for a long time. In the old days, it was on and it was louder. You turned it down on the guitar, and that was pretty much it. You know.
Speaking of that, are you using much of your volume on the guitar, or do you have an expression pedal or volume pedal out front that you are manipulating volume?
I hate to disappoint people. No, I don't.
So you have the volume on your guitar always
pretty
on
much
10?
Wide open. Yeah, yeah, if you want to get the best tone out of whatever sound you're trying to get, you
got
to have
it
wide open. Yeah. If you back it off, well, on these that doesn't happen, but it used to be if you did that, then the tone went down with
it. Kind of bleed it off.
Yeah. So, I just leave it wide open and do my switching out there with the foot pedals, and pretty simplistic all the way around.
I think the only thing we haven't touched on, Tom, is your acoustics. I know that you have some Martins.
I have a Martin.
Oh, and the Collins you had mentioned earlier.
It's a D42 with D45 inlay and stuff that was actually... It's called the Doobie 42 is what it's called, because it was custom made.
It's beautiful.
They did a great job. It's beautiful. It's Engelmann spruce, I believe India.
Rosewood.
Indian in rosewood before. They said, no, you can't do that.
Anymore. Yeah, for the sights.
And I guess mahogany on the
was
back.
There any input with Martin or Chris that you had
regarding
the instrument that you wanted?
Yeah. It was their idea to do it, and I said, thank you very much. I'm very... very pleased to do that. And the guys that were actually doing the work on it called and said, well, what do you think about using this? And being as I'm not a wood expert in the true sense of the word, I said, sounds great. Literally. So when I heard the guitar, I was blown away. I said, geez, that really does sound good.
Yeah.
And they come with a Fizo pickup in the bass.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the only thing I was going to ask was, how do you like that and then know that you had it for only a certain amount of time in your guys' career? Was the J50 you wrote so many of the songs on early on.
Got stolen in 1975, that was a bummer.
How do you, is that one of your main writing partners, this D42, or is that just a road dog?
I didn't own one of these until they made it. I had 17s, and I think I had a 0028 for a while.
Yeah, 28.
But I didn't have a 42 because that was at my price range at that point in time. I've written a lot of songs on that now.
Uh-huh.
I've also written songs on the Collings as well, which is kind of a brother to this, only a little deeper sounding.
Okay, I was going to say, what was the difference that you hear or feel?
It's kind of a warmer sounding guitar, a little bigger. Looks like there might be a tad, maybe not. Looks like there's a little bit more depth as far as the actual body itself.
Well, which one of these two will you use for Blackwater?
I'm using this for Blackwater.
Okay, for Collins?
Yeah. And also using it for Spirit. They're both really great guitars. I mean, it's really a matter of if you find something that it works, like preference-wise, sound-wise, a lot of it will have to do with the pickup that's in it, I got to be honest with you, if you're playing it through electricity. So if you're just playing it straight up, it's a whole nother world.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Great guitars, man. Really. All of them.
Well, Tom, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Right after Soundtrack or before the show, so I appreciate it. We're going to talk to the rest of the band.
Absolutely. Go for it, man.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, we're over here out of the bunker into the actual stage. People are coming in. Hopefully they don't start chanting John's name. We're here with John, who plays almost every instrument on stage. Maybe not every, but, you know, a lot.
All the ones I play.
Exactly. Plays them well. So let's talk about your very Line 6 setup. You got the guitar here.
Yeah.
Start with that.
Because of the different roles I have to play musically in the band, I've gravitated towards this concept, and I've been using the Line 6 Variax guitars for quite a while now, and this is my newer version of it, the Variax Standard. It's what I use for traveling, for the road work and stuff.
I was going to say, just so people have a picture of what you do for the band, I know that you play violin, that's a completely different instrument, but what are you using for the Variax in terms of the roles and the instruments you're trying to cover?
Well, for example, on Listen to the Music, I'm playing, I've got three different sounds. One is like a lead guitar sound with distortion and like that, and another one is an acoustic guitar sound, and another one is banjo, because if you listen to the original recording of Listen to the Music, not that many people think about it, but it's actually pretty prominent in mm-hmm. the mix. It's definitely audible. Banjo.
Yeah.
It's on the recording. So I'm playing a banjo part in the choruses. So I've got three different instruments
Man.
In one song. And this is the only way I could accomplish that, is with
yeah,
something
absolutely.
Like the Variax. I did use the Roland virtual guitar before this, but then I've in for the last at least 10 years I've been using the Line 6 approach to multi-guitar models and,
yeah.
and sounds. So.
So you're not afraid to embrace technology?
No, I like it.
Yeah, perfect.
You know, the good old days were not so good.
No.
But, and I'm playing, you know, the guitar itself, and I can emulate so many different types of guitars, plus you can have custom tunings. Like when I play slide guitar, I've got more of an open E type tuning on Sweet Maxine, one of our songs that's in the current set. Things like that. I don't have to change guitars. And any songs that we're doing a half step down or up, which we have a few nowadays, I don't have to change guitars for that. The other guys have to change guitars.
You have a lot less shipping costs also.
Yeah,
your
yeah.
gear versus the rest
yeah,
of
yeah, there's guys. A, there are a lot of pluses, but it really does sound good. They've gotten the technology to where it's, honestly, in a blindfold test, I doubt anybody could tell the difference between if I'm doing a Strat on this and a real Strat or whatever. And I'm using the Helix pedal board.
Yeah.
I'm running through the Helix, which is, again, it's like they just keep improving the technology to the point that it's ridiculous. I mean, this thing sounds as good as anything. And we've been using it in the studio. We had Tom on our most recent recording was playing through it and going, wow. So he was able to get a sound that he'd gotten the sound through. I think he had used a Mesa Boogie on his demo. And he says, man, I got a really lot of sustain. I don't know if you can get that. And I dialed it up in about 20 seconds. It was a great sound. It
slowly
really
converting him, huh?
Well, slowly, maybe, but yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, I think so. I know that now that they know it can sound good. Even on our last recordings, I had our skeptical recording engineer, Grammy Award-winning engineer Ross Hogarth, started out with having a bunch of amps in the studio and all this stuff. By the end of it, he had me programming sounds through my Line 6 stuff for Pat and Tom or whatever on certain songs, because it's quicker and you can get really good sounds.
Did you get any engineering credits for that?
I do get engineering credits. There's some stuff that I actually
I
did
like
engineer
should.
Myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do engineering as well. But
at its core, though, this guitar is something that you would play aside from the, you know, the playability, the feel mm-hmm. versus, mm-hmm. you know, another's, we'll call it a Strat-style guitar.
Uh-huh.
At its core, it's still a guitar that you would use, you know, without the functionality and all the tones and instruments it can cover.
Yeah, even just as a guitar, it's a really good, solid guitar. The neck feels good. It's really playable, and this one, the new Variaxes like this, they have, you know, call them real pickups.
Yeah,
in addition
pickups.
To the invisible pickups, it was one for each string, so you can that does the pickup emulation. There's those pickups that you don't see, but it's also got the traditional pickups, and you can blend them or use one or the other. So we have a lot of options, and it's an excellent guitar as a guitar.
And for the going back to the Helix, what types of sounds? I know there'll be a litany of things that you actually do use or call up on that. But mm-hmm. what are some core sounds that you're either emulating for amp stuff or like what would be like some things to give people a perspective of what you're going for tone wise?
Yeah,
that?
Well, there are songs where if I want a clean like Fender sound or something, you can dial up. They can't use names
yeah,
like
yeah.
Fender Twin or whatever,
yeah.
but they have their code name, their names that where you can tell what it is. And the interface on this is awesome too, on the Helix. It's so easy to program, you don't need to have a computer to do, you don't have to go through a bunch of menus. It's very, very user friendly. And so for a clean sound, I'll dial up perhaps like the equivalent of a Fender mm-hmm. amp of some sort, like whether it's a Twin or whatever, and then for distortion, there are Marshall emulations,
okay.
there are AC30s, there's all kinds. If you want in-between distortion, you have so many options, so many ways of achieving it. Plus, it's got all the effects. I mean, you can put in a pedal if you want distortion. A distortion pedal, it's like a Tube Screamer or whatever, or any various types of distortions and echoes and delays and reverb and chorus, all the types of effects that you might ever use. It's like you just dial it up and I save presets per song.
Okay.
So, for example, if I have a delay on a song, I can have it locked into the tempo, so it's always mm-hmm. consistent. And that's another plus with the unit like this. You, you know, you can really get very specific on a per song and per section of song basis.
I think though maybe one of the things that people have said in previous instances with this type of technology is either the feel on stage. I see that you don't have any cabs, so I assume you're running in-ear.
I'm just in through my in-ears.
And do you miss that? And the other thing that people normally say or would say negatively about these types of setups would be latency or feel.
Right.
Do you feel like when you're switching to a banjo or mm-hmm. I know that those also have different tuning setups that you can do right. it on the fly. You feel like
there is no noticeable latency now. Uh-huh. They've gotten it down to where it just feels totally natural. I don't miss the whole amp thing. I grew up, you know, in the era of, you know, what are now, you know, the classic amps and all that stuff. And I have them, you know, and sometimes I'll use them in the studio. But for road work, this is just so much more practical. And I don't miss the amp thing because the way I grew up playing, I come from a country music background, mm-hmm. and I never liked playing loud anyway. So I wasn't way into the big amp, like, you know, fooling yourself into thinking it sounds great because it's so darn loud.
Yeah.
You know, that's an aspect that I think, you know, a lot of guitar players fall into. In fact, sometimes I wonder if I'm actually a guitar player because I don't like loud. So to me, it's not an issue at all. I've done a lot of studio work, so it's kind of like being in the studio and mm-hmm. getting we're lucky to have our own monitors all the time and get it dialed in, and it's a very natural way to play.
When I've seen you guys with my old man, I would always say it's like a live studio representation of your band, the way that you hear mm-hmm. it out in the sound or the seats. It's uh-huh. not just a band that cranks it up. Right. It almost sounds like I'm listening to you guys if you were jamming in the studio.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's nice of you to say that. But you know, we were trying. We try to to do a quality, very musical representation of our songs.
And you guys have so much going on too, instrumentation wise.
Yeah, there's a lot. And now we got Billy Payne in the band, and it's really amazing to have he's the guy that played on China Grove.
Yeah.
Rocking Down the Highway. So having the keyboards, you know, with Billy is awesome. And it's like being part of a very exciting record.
Every night.
Yeah.
And I guess the last thing we have here is obviously your violin behind us, your Line 6 acoustic. What are you using that for?
The Line 6 acoustic, there are songs like, we play a song from the Captain and Me called Clear as the Driven Snow.
All right.
And it's a very folk, psychedelic acoustic song. And there was a lot of finger picking. And Pat and I, you know, on the record, he was able to do some double tracking and harmonies with himself. And so live, I'm able to replicate that with this, and it is so convincing. I mean, as far as like this, and this is there again, it's artificially doing a tuning that is like a tuned down, like very low and on the low strings. It's a very unusual tuning, but this is tuned standard in the real world. But you would never know that it's a standard tuning if I'm playing the song.
What does it transpose through the guitar? Like, what is that special tuning you're talking about?
It's a C, G, C, God, what is it? Oh my God, I'm going to blank out.
I'm quizzing you.
C. Yeah, the fifth is on top. So the top is a G. Yeah, so I guess here again, at the top, from the top, it would be a G, C, and then it's got two that are the same, you know, a C, C. I mean, it's a very strange tuning, I'm telling you. And then
it's
then
good thing G, the Line 6 is doing it for you.
What's that?
I said it's a good thing the Line 6 is doing it for you.
Oh, yeah, I know. I don't think, I never have to tune it, so I have to really think about what it is. I've got the song in my head, but no. Oh, what is the tuning exactly? It's like, it's a tuning Pat invented, so it's very unusual. And if I had to play, and there have been times when there's another acoustic guitar song in the set, totally standard tuning or some other tuning, same guitar, it's ready to go. I saved my preset and it's ready to go.
Perfect, John. Everyone's getting piled in here. I want to let you get home, get out of here so you can at least rest up before you perform.
Real quickly, I'll say that there's a Steinberger violin.
Ooh,
those
Ned.
Are really interesting.
Yeah, Ned.
I'm really, I've just recently switched to that from Zeta. The Zetas were great, but this is working really well for me because it doesn't use friction tuning pegs. So it's more roadworthy, you know, in a lot of ways. So anyway,
cool.
Just letting you know.
Perfectly, thank you.
All your guitar players that don't care about violin.
Well, that's a shout out to Ned Steinberger.
All right, thank you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, John. We're over here lastly with Pat. Pat, how are you doing today?
Very good.
Thank you very much for taking the time, man. I appreciate it. This is a treat.
Thanks for having us.
We don't have much time, so let's just get to business. What do we got here for guitars?
Okay, let's see. These are guitars that I've been playing for about the last 40 years.
Are these the custom ones that you had made?
I had these made, back in 1980, something like that. So a long time anyway.
Yeah.
You can see I've been playing them. Westwood Music, made by a friend of mine, Mark Brown.
Okay.
Made these, and he made an identical guitar, EMG pickups.
What kind of tremolo is that?
This is a Washburn tremolo. They don't make these anymore, but these came off of Washburn guitars.
What do you like about that versus standard one?
Well, it stays in tune really well. It's the strings are go across these rollers, and so when you depress the bar, the strings, instead of having a friction element going on with the bridge, these roll, so pretty cool.
And
mainly I use it for sustain kind of things, not so much a little bit of dive bombing, but not as much, because it has a limited travel. But I use it for sustain, and I like it for effect, just the old Bigsby kind
subtle,
of
yeah.
effect.
And so those pickups, are those like EMGs? Or?
These are EMGs, and they're powered so that, they have a little mid-range boost here,
pre-amp.
Which I use pretty much all the time. And so it gives a little more edge to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, my tone is pretty dynamic, and I do rotate that a little bit from time to time. Cuts off some of the highs. Normally I'm in the second position for rhythms. I drop down to my one before the bottom here for leads a lot, for a little more cut.
Mm-hmm.
These three guitars are kind of all similar, and this was made by Joe Valley,
and that was another tech,
who was a teacher at the Roberto Venn School of Luthieri in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, coal wood. I think this is ash maybe here, but it's a great guitar. Basically set up the same with the Washburn tremolo.
I like the little guard here too on the volume knob.
This is something that somebody turned us on to. It really keeps me from knocking and shutting the volume off inadvertently. Basically set up more or less the same, and it's got a little driven thing there as well. So
what do you use, like, between the two that we've seen so far, like for song choices, why would one get used?
I probably use this the most. It's just a great sounding guitar.
Looks sharp too.
It's a great looking guitar. I love it.
Yeah, it looks good on camera.
So I probably play this one the most. Second, probably I play this green guitar. I really like it as well.
What do you really enjoy about the Strat body style, or the Strats?
I played setup. Gibsons for years, and I do love Gibson guitars. I still play them in the studio and stuff, but I love the rhythm sound coming from the Strat, and I have these set up so with this tremolo and so on, so they really have great sustain.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit lighter woods for the body. And that, again, resonates a little bit more, so just great guitars to play. And the necks are kind of standard Strat necks. I don't have real big hands, so my necks are kind of small.
And what about your action? How do you have it set up? Are you like low action, or do you kind of have a little fight?
In between, yeah.
Okay.
I like it set up enough so that I can bend the string without running into the other string. So,
yeah.
It's higher than some people might have it, lower than others,
And are you running higher strings than Tom? I know Tom across the way there said he was running nines.
I think these are probably nines as
okay.
well. Yeah. I have run as small as eights.
Wow.
And I like those, but, these tend to stay in tune better, and I break less strings, so I'm pretty
What's
sure
What's the story behind this white one? You don't need to necessarily bring it out, but I see three yas on it.
I keep forgetting to sing yeah, yeah, yeah at a certain part in a song, and so one night I just did that so I'd remember. and this is a Jimmy Vaughn Strat, and I do use this nightly as well.
It's what a great, song great do you guitar. Use that on? Or
I song? Use that on Music as a Doctor, and what else am I playing it on?
Is Music a Doctor, is that the song that you have to say, yeah, yeah, sing, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're answering, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's the only song I'm using it on now. I think that's the only tune I've been using.
All right, continuing the tour down the boat here, what do we see behind those electrics? Or I guess that's still electric.
So this is a Rick Turner guitar, different than the one Lindsey Buckingham plays. This is an acoustic version. I love this guitar. It's an unusual acoustic sound. It's not strictly acoustic guitar. It's a little more piano-like, I think. So Rick kind of did a not one of a kind, but I think Rick's guitars are different than any other acoustics. You know, they aren't purely acoustic. There's a little more electrical sound in it, a little more percussiveness, and I kind of like that. So I use this on a song of ours called Clear as the Driven Snow, and it's really great for open tunings and stuff.
And you're probably imagining your finger picking on that?
I am finger picking on this.
Right and now, with the electrics, you're using a pick? Or
I have an odd pick. I don't know if you want to see it. I'll show
see
you.
Here.
I don't know if you can even see this. Giving away my secrets. I take a Dobro thumb pick and I cut it off, and I take a Dunlop flat pick and I marry them up with gaffer's tape. I tried gluing them, but the dissimilar plastics don't want to bond with glue. So I have it like that, and I use it like this for a long time, but it's hard to do upstrokes.
Yeah.
It goes crazy. So I started making my own gaffer's tape strips.
Pat, I feel like if you ask someone at Dunlop or any of these pick companies, I think they can make you something.
Yeah, they weren't interested. I actually went to Dunlop, and the old man said, you know, Scotsman, he goes, yeah, that's nothing. We're not interested in that. Walked away. But that keeps me from dropping the pick. It keeps it from moving around, you know, when
all
I'm
right.
playing. And I can do, you know.
And yeah, you're still able to do the upstrokes with the same fluidity.
Right. And I used to do more strumming with it, too. I've been doing more with my fingers lately.
All right.
So I've changed my style a little bit through the years.
Why is that? Just to change it up, or was there a reason maybe?
I like the sound. It's a little more feather-like, a little more R&B, a little more Jimi Hendrix.
You know? Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's funkier, you know. I get funkier. This is okay, but the fluidity of your fingers makes for a nice feathery kind of sounds on the guitar.
Is that a backup, the next Rick Turner?
So it's just a backup in case I break a string.
Alrighty.
Which a lot of this is, you know, like this, I use these two guitars, and this is kind of my backup for this one, and this is my backup for this one. So that's kind of how it goes. I've been playing Turner acoustics.
Taylor,
rather. That's
Turner.
That's the Turner. Taylor Turner. I've been playing the Taylor acoustics because I love the sound of their guitars. They play great. I think I started watching other people. Kenny Loggins was playing a Taylor. I love the sound of it. I've been seeing other musicians playing them, and I dig the sound for playing live. They play really well. They're consistent in terms of the when I'm somewhere and I need an acoustic and I need to rent one. If I rent one like the one I have, it's the same.
It's dependable.
It's dependable, always. And they sound great, they play great.
Would this be your main acoustic?
This is probably the one I play the most.
And that's the one I'm guessing you're bringing out on Blackwater?
Yes. My backup. And then I've got a Callings here that's just kind of a take to your hotel room guitar.
Yeah, not a bad guitar to do that with.
Yeah, great.
I've never seen a sound hole suppressor like that where it's with the metal in the middle.
This
can
is
you explain that?
A motorcycle, a tribute to motorcycle. No, it's just like a, a cool rock and roll suppressor, so you know, for feedback, same
blues. Yeah, so it doesn't actually change, or it's just it's a looks thing.
No, it sounds great. It still sounds really good, but I, of course, crank it just a little bit louder, get it out front.
Okay.
Without feeding back. Without it, it sounds okay, but you're on the edge of feedback sometimes. So it keeps the strings from doing the Beatles thing. You know?
Yeah.
And so that's my guitars. That's all really, right. You know.
And I know for the longest time, at least to my knowledge, you were a big Mesa Boogie fan. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I've been playing Mesa Boogies for a long time. I've got a Mark V, so I don't know yeah, you guys can take a picture of it later. But I play the Mark V. I'm old school, you know, I like hearing real tube sound. Mm-hmm. So I have my clean rhythm sound, and then a kind of I call it my Keith Richards sound, you know, the kind of half distorted sound, and then a lead sound. So, and I use basically those sounds are this, you know, that's my distortion.
And that's through the amps, you're just channel switching?
Right, just channel switching. So I don't have, you know, use any buttons for distortion. It's all natural tube distortion, which I kind of have come full circle with that.
Yeah.
Back to where I started.
And do you, just to go full circle, do you use the volume knob much on your guitar?
It's pretty much open all the time. Okay. And, you know, I just use the channels. I've got everything's
in.
My speaker is inside here. Nothing is on the stage anymore. It's all mic'd inside this box.
Do you miss that, having the loud?
I don't, because I can be as loud as I want without having to blow everybody away, and I like being able to be loud.
Yeah.
I like to play loud. This way I can, I never offend anybody. It's all going out front. I hear myself in my ears, my ear monitors, so that's really a cool thing. And, I can't be happier. I used to just kind of mic the bottom out on stage and throw some blankets over, and everybody back here would be going, So now, with this closed, you really can't hear it at all.
That's perfect.
I got a ribbon mic on one, and I think this is a 58 over here, so I close this up, and, and it's got a cool shape for the music, so it has a chance to kind of expand and move around.
Yeah, it's a bigger robe case.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's just really great. I kind of put I used to use 412s, and now I've dropped down to this. It sounds just as good as, if not better, really, than the 412 bottom, because it fits in the case. I don't have to have as big a case to move around.
Awesome.
So,
Pat, thank you so much. I know that you guys have to do meet and greet and everything, so I appreciate it.
Thank you.
My
pedal board's out there. If you guys want to go take a picture of it,
we'll check it out.
You probably can see what's on it.
What's going on?
I don't have a lot. I got a. You can see what's there. I use them all.
All right, Pat. Thank you very much. This is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you, Pat.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.